Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Full Course Show Jumping Podcast. I'm Will Fletcher, and as always, I'm here with Sam Gerard-May.
Thank you once again for joining us. This week, we're going to catch up with Olivier Philippart. But before we do that, Will, you've been away competing for a good few weeks now.
Yeah, I've been away for 2 weeks. Just got back now, so start the quarantining. But it was really successful, a couple of weeks away. And yeah, so hopefully now we're just the horses that we've left back, because we couldn't take as many as obviously you'd hoped to. So got a bit of, you know, catching up with them. And then I think hopefully if everything's okay next month, we're off to Villamora. So that should be fun.
Lovely. How long are you going out to Villamora for?
Be there the whole time for 6 weeks. So yeah, be away for a long old time, but we've got a lot of horses going. I think for myself, maybe 6 or 7. So yeah, we'll be kept busy, although we'll be having a great time in the sun. Be the most that I will have taken, but very, very much looking forward to it.
That sounds amazing. That really will be good fun. You've been to some shows. I've been to Hickstead last week. That was,
yeah, how was that?
It was really good, actually. I was really surprised that everyone seemed to be paying attention to the rules. They were walking the course with masks on, and there was some really good jumping in the 140 series, and it was really nice to catch up with so many people that I hadn't seen in so long.
Very good. Hope you're socially distancing.
Of course, social distancing. And then I go back out commentating this week. I go to Bicton in Devon, which is a good old show.
That's a lovely show.
So yes, we'll see what happens. But let's crack on with this week's episode and catch up with Olivier Philippart. Well, delighted to have join us on the podcast this week one of the very talented riders for Team Belgium at the moment, Olivier Philippart. He's won many medals in his career. Olivier, thank you for joining us.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Well, let's start things off, I suppose, with Saint-Tropez. In terms of the show jumping side, you had a great show there. You were third in the 5-star Grand Prix. That was a really good result for you. And the show from a jumping side was good.
Yeah, I was actually very happy with that because we all know besides the shows in Saint-Tropez, I don't think we'll have so many other shows. So I really tried to make a goal out of it to perform as good as possible in the 5-star show in Saint-Tropez, which actually worked out quite well for me. Yeah.
No, it was great to see you going well there. But it's obviously something that's been in the news of late, of which you picked up the virus, maybe travelling there or at the show. How are you doing with that? Have you recovered well? And how is yourself?
Yeah, well, I mean, I got home and you know what, I said I just wanted to get myself tested because I got a bit out of a bit of a risky zone just to make sure. And then, I mean, I ended up being positive. So in the end, you know, it's just the way it is, and I just stayed at home for a bit, and actually I'm doing fine. So well, these days it's not something weird that we're about the coronavirus. I think sooner or later everybody's gonna get it, you know. So well, thank God I'm fine now, and I think in a couple of days I'll be good to go again.
Definitely, because that's such a relief to, as you, I think you're one of the first high profile show jumping names of which you've come out with and tested positive, and it's great to hear that you're okay now. But you know, with your horses going so well at Saint-Tropez, taking third place like we said, and two of your top horses looking great, after you've recovered from this and you've tested negative, what's sort of your plan for the coming weeks and months?
Well, normally I should be able to compete this weekend in Valkenswaard already, so that should be able to do that. And then we go back for another 2 weeks in Saint-Tropez, following a week off, another 2 weeks in Saint-Tropez as well. And actually after that, I haven't really made a plan yet because I don't know which shows will go on, which ones will not. So it's all still a little bit uncertain the next few months in our sport due to the coronavirus. So we'll have to see where it brings us the next couple of months.
As you said, it definitely is uncertain. But the one thing that is certain is that you're from one of the most famous show jumping families of all time, the Philipparts. You know, your father, Ludo, he was a multiple time Olympian, and your twin brother, Nicola, as well, also competing at the top of the sport. So how was it for you as a young rider learning to ride?
I mean, sure. For me, to come out of this background of my father has been a huge advantage. My father knew the sport already for 25-30 years, and then I start riding, and of course I got all the best information, the best trainer around me I could wish for when I was young. So I'd say for me, that was definitely a big advantage.
And so when you were younger, you and Nicola, how, you know, at the first few shows you go to, obviously being exactly the same age, you're always competing against each other. I know with my brother, there's a 4-year age difference. So when you were going to your first shows, how competitive were you against each other, like fighting for, you know, competition wins?
Yeah, I mean, sure, we've both been very competitive, both on a way, which is very normal. And then when you want to get older, I think it also, it pushed each other to a higher level. I think it was always when one something, the other one had to win as well. You know, it was always a little bit of a healthy competition in that. So I think on the end, that was a good thing for us.
Definitely, because pushing each other is so key, isn't it, to the success of what you have, which both of you have got in later years. But as younger kids and younger riders, are there any sort of stories you can tell us about what it was like with both of you at the shows? Obviously, now you look back, you must have won every class. But, you know, both of you going to the shows as young riders.
Yeah, I mean, we all grew up jumping together in the pony competition, juniors, young riders, seniors. So it was all, on the end, it's very difficult, you know, when you compete in the youth competitions together, it's a different level. But then when you come up to a 5-star level, we all need a horse to be able to jump this level. So on that side, my father was great to make sure we always had a horse that we could use in 5-star shows. And I think it's more because of him that that we will be able to compete each other at 5-star level. Because only if only my brother or I had a 5-star horse, it would have been way different. But we all got, I think, the right horses at the right time.
Definitely, you have had a lot of success. And one of the highlights from your young rider days were back in 2010 in France, when you took that gold medal with the horse Charisma, who did so much for your career. How did you enjoy those days at the youth championships?
Well, I mean, like at that time, the youth European championships were also the highlight of the year. And we always worked towards to that point. And then obviously, for me to become individual European champion was, you know, it was the highest you could do at that age. So obviously I was extremely, really happy with that. And I mean, my dad made sure I had this horse to ride, because afterwards we saw the horse back jumping on top level with Danny Goldstein. So it was a very extremely good horse. And I mean, I've had it when it was a young horse. So it's also, it worked well for us, you know. And like I said, without a horse like that, it would have been way harder.
Absolutely. And obviously, we've spoken to many riders. And for you in the Philip Hart stables, trading is a big part of the business, isn't it, as well as competing?
Yeah, so we also know with our business makes sure we can ride top sport, because while the prize money is also very important, but it's still not enough to compare with the business side. I mean, without business, we're not doing any top sport. So that's something we have to do. But then now, generally, the sports is changing a little bit. So we're trying to keep a little bit more horse for the sport, because like this day with the Global Champions Tour, I'm at the Rolex Grand Slam shows. There is becoming more and more money in our sport, which I think it's a great thing for our sport. And hopefully future-wise, we could actually try to keep a few more horses.
Yeah, I think that's the goal of every rider that we've spoken to. And when you were younger, obviously, as we said, your father was a very successful show jumper. Is that always something you want to do as a full-time career? Or was there any doubt and maybe other opportunities that you thought you might like to explore?
When I was younger, I did actually plenty of sports, always together with the horses. And then on the end, I think you always pick a bit the sport you feel like you're best in, you know. Because if you're competitive or you're good in something, it's always more you'll go towards that. And I've always had success with the horses. So and then that's the path that I've chosen. And I'm still now I'm very happy I made that choice.
Definitely. And if you really couldn't be a show jumper, what do you think you would have been doing?
What I would have been doing, I'm not sure. What I would love to be doing, I always love to be to do something with like a race car driving. I really like Formula One. I really enjoy that. So I always like something with fast cars. But so far I'm going to keep it with the horses.
That's really interesting to hear, actually. We've had a few other riders that have told us that if they weren't show jumpers, Formula One drivers is what they would be.
It's very funny because many of the riders, they're all passionate by something fast, so fast cars or fast bikes, something like that. It's funny, but a lot of the riders, they enjoy having a quick car. I don't know why that is, but it must be something similar with that.
Speed in whatever form.
Yeah, exactly.
And for you as a young rider, that Spruce Meadows Grand Prix, which you won, you were the youngest ever winner of that class. At such a young age, how did it feel to win probably one of the best and the biggest Grand Prix in the world?
Well, I mean, that weekend for me was truly unbelievable. I remember very well, there was on a Thursday and a Friday, there was like a meeting for the riders and they were all playing those videos of the riders that have won the Grand Prix there. And I thought by myself, oh, you know, one day I would really, really love to win this Grand Prix once. And then I actually 3 days later, I mean, I won that Grand Prix. So it was very, at the time, it was very unexpected because, you know, I had very little experience. And then I did have a horse that jumped very good at that ring. And then 3 days later, I stood there in the prize having winning one of the biggest Grand Prix in the world. So, I mean, that day was something, yeah, something I won't forget because to win that Grand Prix on 19 years of age, with my father being third, yeah, it's going to be something that's going to be very difficult to overachieve that because if you want to overachieve a show like that, it nearly has to be like the Grand Prix Iraq or something like that. So it could be the highlight of my life, and hopefully there will be a few more to come. But I mean, that's something I'm for sure very proud of.
You definitely should. Like 19 years of age, you can't believe to beat some of the world's very, very best. Like your father, you said at the prime of his career, he's third in the Grand Prix. But what was it like beating him at that stage? Obviously, what was his reaction like?
I mean, he was just so delighted that, I mean, his son has became the youngest one to win ever that Grand Prix. I mean, that's something very unique because it's very, you know, these things like that doesn't happen every year because, I mean, a Grand Prix like that, it's just not one you're just going to try and win it. It's something, every rider, you can say, right, they all want to win this Grand Prix one. So to be able just to win that class, that was something very unexpected and extremely special for me.
I bet it was. And when you were walking the course at Spruce Meadows, everyone in show jumping knows that it's probably the most famous for being the biggest and toughest Grand Prix in the world. What's going through your mind then when you're walking the course?
I mean, I remember very well we're walking the course on the Sunday morning and my dad said, you know, well, I'm not sure if you should jump today. You know, I walked the track and he said, it's so difficult. He said, I mean, I'm not sure if you should jump it. You know, it was like, oh, yeah, well, I don't know. I'll just let's see, you know. And then we're walking the class start, you know, I said, I just going to start warming up. And then my dad said, you know, just start to see how it goes. And if you feel like it's not going to go, then you retire, you know, just don't do anything that we were not ready for. And then, you know, I did step by step and home the end. Yeah, I ended up winning it. So it was, it was for sure an unexpected moment.
And it's such a big course that, yeah, I know every year at Spruce Meadows, it is huge, but you had a time fault in the first round. Do you think that might have actually helped because it took the time pressure off the second for the second round? So you didn't have to think, right, there is, because in Spruce, we all know there is a third round that you could just jump the clear and just take each fence as it is because of how difficult the jumps are.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wasn't really focused on, because I know the time was very, very tight, you know, so I said, oh, I just did do as quick as I think I can do it. So I actually did both rounds, tried to do my own thing, my own round, and on the end I was lucky there was not clear, you know. I won actually with one time full second first round and one time full in the second round. So I mean, to win a 5-star Grand Prix with 2 time falls, it doesn't happen too often like that, no. But I was just so focus of just doing my best I can and just try to do whatever it was. And even the second round, I was so delighted that I was double clear on the biggest Grand Prix in the world. I didn't even know I would have won it, but on the end, it was just, I think it was my day, you know, what was my day that moment.
But definitely. And I know you say it's not usual to win a five-star Grand Prix with two time faults, but not every Grand Prix is Spruce Meadows at that size, though, is
no,
it?
Luckily, it's not. No. Once a year, I mean, it's a lovely competition. It's just, it's very extreme. It's very tough. But that's when we go to Spruce Meadows, we know what we're expecting to see. And then people always ask me, what's it like to go there? I said, it's very hard to explain that because it's something you don't see on every other show, because even in Aachen, it's different. The course building is different. I wouldn't say it's more difficult than Aachen. It's pretty much the same level. You just see different things, more extreme things that you won't see in Aachen. That's the biggest difference, I think.
Definitely, definitely. It's really interesting how different Spruce Meadows is to the different, you know, courses from around the world.
Yeah.
But for after that, you have had such a great career, and you're still under 30, even with how much success you have. But according to your website, which I have to say is fantastic, by the way, it helps my job very good when doing the research. In 2017, you were picked for the European Championships, and during the warm up of that, you sustained a fall and made you miss the championships. Could you give us a bit of clarity on what happened there and what it was like to deal with that?
Yeah, well, we've been talking from the upside to the downside. That was for sure a big downside of a championship. No, because I mean, my horse was, I want to jump the water jump because I know she's a little bit special, just to make sure she jumped it before we started the championship. And I mean, she stopped at the water and I fell off and I tried to hold on to her, and then I dislocated my shoulder. So right away, well, they had to put it back into the shoulder, and it was all, you know, my championship was done. I had to go home, and then I got operated a couple of days later. So that was for sure one of the hardest moments I've had so far, because it was really a moment that I've been working to that. And then just to have to leave the championship before it even started. I mean, yeah, that was probably one of the worst moments I've experienced. But on the end, you know, that's what top sport is about. It's about winning, but also about losing. And I think it's very important to be able to live with that. I think we've come out of that stronger, and just, we look up to the next one.
I think that's very well put, in the fact that how disappointing it must be to miss the championship is something that is hard to put into words. But then after that, you had your operation and that went back well, and you came back to the show and you actually made a winning comeback. How was that feeling after such a frustrating time off?
Well, yeah, it was very delighting, because I mean, I didn't ride a horse for I think 12 weeks, which is very, very long. If we used to jump shows every week, then to be on the ground for 12 weeks, it's a very, very long time. And then to be able to come back and to win, it's a great feeling. It took me a while to be able to ride a horse normal, because the strength was very different between left and right. But then to come back and be able to perform and to win again, I mean, it was great. Although, you know, it's still not the same than going to a championship. But, well, for sure, I was happy once I got back to showing again.
I bet you were. And a while ago, we had Peter Fredrickson on the podcast, and obviously he's another rider sponsored by H&M. You've been part of that team for many years as well now. How important is that, to have the support of such a big brand attached to your name?
I have to say, well, I'm very, very thankful to be a part of that H&M team. I'd say for us, it was the way they support us to improve in our sport, to have them beside us, to help to become the best at our top level. I think it's something we're very thankful for. I mean, they always try to promote us in the right way, and we try to present them in the best way as possible. So I think, especially because I can do it together with my brother, it's for sure something unique, because sponsors like that, you don't just find every week.
No, that is very true. And you mentioned family, and the Global Champions Tour is another exciting thing that you're a part of, obviously being part of the London Knights team. How much do you enjoy, A, being part of the London Knights, and also traveling with the Global Champions Tour?
I mean, the Global Champions Tour, it has become a worldwide sport that has brought our sport to a different level. I mean, it's also thanks to Jan Topstad. It's bringing our more sponsors into our show jumping world, which is very, very good. And then being a part of the London Knights, it's great because, I mean, we've had the strongest team for the last 3 years. I mean, together with Emily Moffitt, Martin Fuchs, Ben Mayer, I mean, and Cameron Henley, I'd say we've got one of the best teams in the world right now.
Definitely. And you've had such good success over the past few years. As well as the global tour and going to the shows and everything like that, we've touched on trying to keep horses. But as well as you and Nicola, there's also Thibaut and Anthony. You're both your younger brothers. And for coming from a family of riders, it's just me and my brother, I know how difficult it is to find horses just for us. And for you and Nicola jumping at the absolute top of the sport and Thibaut and Anthony on their way, how difficult is it to get the owners and the sponsors to get behind you and just to source the horses for all of you?
Well, for sure, my dad has a tough job of doing that. It's a very difficult job because, like, now, basically, they need the same horse than we need. So we're really trying the best we can to try to get everybody the right horses as possible. I mean, obviously, there will be moments that one has better horse than the other one, but I mean, we're trying to do our best to become there. All four together, and then we try to get each other the best horses, you know. So I think we're very complimentary with that, and I really hopefully that my brothers can really push to the top sport as well.
They definitely can. And one thing I find really interesting is, as you say, for all of you, you work as a team. If you had a horse that you thought would better suit them, do you sometimes chop and change depending on which horse suits which rider?
Sure. I mean, I think it's very important that you have to give the horse to the rider that fits it the best with. It's a very important thing that I think that the right rider has to ride the right horse that suits him best. I think that's the only way that the rider can get the best out of that horse whenever it suits him perfect.
And in which sort of, so when you're going through the horses, which sort of horse for you is the most ideal? Like, what would you ride, say, better than Nicola? Like, in different, obviously there's different types of horses that suit different types of riders. Is there a difference between you and Nicola, or is it just you guys are so good now, jumping to the top level, you just can ride anything?
Well, I mean, the only thing is that in our stables, it's not like who wants to ride which horse. It's a little bit, you know, every horse that comes into our stable, we'll always have to work with it and try to improve it, even if it's good or not good enough. You know, we always have to work. So it's not that, oh, I just want to have those horses, I need to have that horse. It doesn't work like that. We all get the same amount of horses, and we gotta make it work. And then obviously, we've got horses that jumps better with my brother and me. I think for myself, I've worked now a lot with a bit of a small horses, a lot of blood horses. That's something I really like now, and I really adjusted myself to that. So that's for sure something I prefer the most. But I mean, I think it's important, and also a business, David, that we all need to learn to ride with all kinds of types of horses, because in a business stable, you'll get all kinds of horses.
I was just interested to hear riders, this question we actually haven't asked too much, and to know, you know, what sort of horses that they like to ride. Because there's my mum, obviously jumping at the top level, used to love jumping the big scopy horses, and it was just interesting to hear from Olivier what which sort of horses suits him and which ones he likes to ride.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, for sure, I think that the sport has been changed now. For sure, scope is very important, but these days, I think quality and the quickness of your horse also becomes very important. Like today, if you see those jump-offs, I mean, if you have a touch of a slow horse, you just have got no chance anymore to win something on it. They have to be so incredibly fast and smart. They have to be really a compact horse. They have to be quick off the ground. I mean, it's like it's nearly a racetrack in the jump off these days. So it's getting more and more important to have a competitive horse.
I completely agree. Sometimes I feel watching the five-star Grand Prix, if it was a course of Cavalettis, I'd be struggling to keep up with you guys. But you're so right. The horses have to be more quality and more careful because you have to gallop so quickly at all the jumps. And it was just really interesting hearing from yourself what the horses are like.
Exactly. Yeah.
And moving on from there in the sport of show jumping, there are many ups and downs, but one thing that we really like asking is, can you tell us the funniest, embarrassing moment you've ever had in the ring?
I remember that. I remember I was, I don't know how many years it's been. It's been a couple of years now. We were in the Nations Cup final in Barcelona, and I was riding my gray stallion Cabrio. So I remember, so in Barcelona, they've got this old-fashioned iron gate. They got to open, slide them open with people, you know, to the left. And then, so I was waiting in front of that gate. And then when they were about to open that gate, they were opening up. I was walking through and the gate got stuck, but I was already halfway and some horse kept going. And I got stuck with my left leg underneath the gate and it pushed me off. So can you imagine I'm going in one of the biggest competition of the year, going to the final round. And I fall off my horse before I got to even start my round. So it was unbelievable. The horse just stood still. They gave me a leg up. I jumped on my horse, went into the ring, and jumped the clear round. So actually it was unbelievable because I just basically fell on the ground before I even had to get started. So that was probably the most ridiculous moment I've had. Have you heard about this? On Eurosport, I've got this video clip called What's? When other people get crashes and they fall down, and even they showed me on that for a couple of times, so it was a bit it was a bit funny. But afterwards, it didn't end up in something bad. So that was that.
That makes it does make an embarrassing moment a lot better. But exactly. What goes through, like what went through your mind then? You've obviously in front of a big crowd at Barcelona there, and you've fallen off at the start gate. Everyone's watching you, and how do you then compose yourself to then ride a good round and jump clear?
It all went very quick. So the moment I fell off, you know, they grabbed the horse, put me on the horse just within the ring, and I got back to concentration. So I didn't have too much time to think about it, but definitely afterwards, we've had a couple of laughs with it. So then it was fine. But I mean, sure, at that moment, you're a bit like, oh, what's going on now? Fuck, what I have to do? So they grabbed the horse and I just jumped on and just did my thing. But for sure, it was a very funny and also a bit of an awkward moment.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to get the video of this to promote the podcast I'd love to see that. I actually haven't seen but anyway, after you know you go to so many shows, is there anything you like to do away from the show ring to relax, or have you got any other hobbies?
Like a couple of years ago I started playing golf actually, and I really enjoy it. I don't say I'm very good now, for sure I gotta practice a lot, but it's something I would really like to improve myself at it, because I think I really enjoy it. I can play it everywhere in the world. So for sure, it's something I really enjoy doing.
That's amazing to hear. And once again, you know, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. We've really enjoyed talking to you. But before you go, could you give our listeners the best piece of advice that we should share with them?
I think the best piece of advice is you have to make sure you're around yourself with the best trainers, and because they are definitely the key in the success. I mean, if you want to come to a certain level, you need to have a teacher that has knowledge about the sport and how they can teach riders. Because if you have a bad teacher, I mean, there is really no future. So the first thing you got to do is have a right teacher, and he will really guide you in the right way and put your noses in the right direction to come to our top sport.
Thank you so much to Olivier Philipparts for coming on the podcast. It was fantastic to catch up with him. It was a shock to us all when it came out that he had the coronavirus, but it's great to hear that he's coming back from that. He's feeling much better, and hopefully he'll be out competing soon once he's, you know, tested and all fine to go. But yeah, it was really interesting hearing about Olivier's successes, wasn't it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and about how they have so many horses coming through for him and his siblings. That was great. Thank you to everybody for joining us this week. As always, don't forget to like, subscribe, podcast, tell all your friends, And Will and I will speak to you next week. Have a good week.